Jai Jai Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jai Jai Shri Chaitanya
Jaya Nityananda.
Jai
Jai Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jai Jai
Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhaktavinoda. Jai Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhaktavinoda.
So we continue with the description of the success to come as it is given in the final chapter of the Chaitanya Charitamrita by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself. Nam namakari bahudha nija sarva saktis. We can chant it, yeah, why not? Nam namakari bahudha nija sarva saktis. Anyway, I don't think we can. Tatarpitani ametasman nena kala. Etadrisita vakripa bhagavan mamapi. Durdaiva midrisam vihajanina nuraga. Translation. My Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, in your holy name there is all good fortune for the living entity, and therefore you have many names such as Krishna and Govinda, by which you expand yourself. You have invested all your potencies in those names, and there are no hard and fast rules for remembering them. My dear Lord, although you bestow such mercy upon the fallen conditioned souls by liberally teaching your holy names, I am so unfortunate that I commit offenses while chanting the holy name, and therefore I do not achieve attachment for chanting. So generally speaking, when we are looking at a translation of this verse, it is said that I am so unfortunate that I have no taste for the chanting of the holy name. Here it is mentioned, I'm so unfortunate that I commit offenses while chanting the holy name, and therefore I do not achieve attachment for the chanting. So it is obvious that the taste for the holy name is relating to the purity of the chanting, and that as long as we are committing offenses in the matter of chanting the holy name, then we'll be blocked from having much taste for the holy name. And in that case, it becomes difficult to chant. It becomes a great struggle to chant. So therefore, it is recommended that we are avoiding those 10 offenses. Another main point that is made in this verse is about chanting the principal names. Nam namakari bahuda. Bahu means many names, and that the Lord has many different names, and amongst these names some are principal names and some are secondary names. So it said the secondary names of the Lord, they are describing particular energies of the Lord or particular functions that he is performing, but they're not describing him as the original Supreme Personality of Godhead. So in chanting the holy name, once you chant one of the principal names of the Lord, it said like Krishna and Govinda, but not something like Jagatpati, right, or which is the father of the universe. That would be a secondary name. In this way, it is said these primary names are to be chanted. Anyway, in the matter of avoiding offenses against the holy name, we have, of course, discussed that topic many, many times amongst devotees, and we have heard so many times about these various offenses and what to do and how to avoid them. The offenses are given in the negative sense of don't. Don't blaspheme the Vaishnavas, don't blaspheme the Vedic scriptures, don't see the spiritual master as an ordinary man, like that. Right? So sometimes it is stated that one should reverse them, that rather than blaspheming the Vaishnavas, one should glorify the Vaishnavas, right? Like in this way, rather than doing the negative. The best way to conquer the negative is by doing the positive, right? So that is a fact. That is actually the proper approach. If we get in the mood of glorifying devotees, then automatically we will conquer the tendency to criticize them, right? Rather than, you know, I should not criticize anyone, right? Then one still tends to criticize in the mind. I think this guy, you know, is totally useless, but I'm not supposed to say anything because if I do, I make an offense, you know. Thoughts are free, fortunately, right? If thoughts were not free from reactions in this day and age of Kali, where would we be? It is a fact that there are no karmic reactions for our offensive thoughts, but still the problem is, well, there are two problems if we are offensive in the mind. The first problem is that in due course of time, by meditating, we may actually put these thoughts into action. The other problem is that as long as such thoughts are there, there may not be a karmic reaction, but on the spiritual plane there is a reaction, because Krishna will not really sit in such a mind and such a heart. Krishna will not manifest himself. So that is a big problem. As long as we are even impure within the mind, we have difficulties, because that mind will not become the residence of Krishna. So, therefore, we have to actually become absorbed in glorifying the Vaishnavas. So this takes practice to glorify Vaishnavas. We have to learn this to glorify and appreciate the mercy. These are two big things, and I must say, I take it myself as a challenge. I have not really perfected this art very much, but I'm meditating on the point that I should glorify the Vaishnavas, give credit to all the Vaishnavas. This is a very important exercise to engage in, but not artificially. We must actually find some qualities and activities and reasons to glorify. If we glorify someone for qualities or activities that he hasn't really performed, or that he doesn't really have, then it becomes meaningless. So we must actually see the good quality in the person. That is the art of glorification. And if we do so, then we become a Vaishnava, adosha darshi. Then we become one who cannot see fault in anyone else, who always kind of is ready to find extenuating circumstances for the faults of others. Just like we are very good, the conditioned soul is very good in being totally rigid with others, right? Like, they've made a terrible mistake, right? They blew it totally. But if we make a mistake, then the tendency is to say, like, yeah, but what could I do? You know, the circumstances were against me. It was not really my fault. I mean, I couldn't do anything about it. I was forced, you know, I was caught in the situation. Anybody would have made a mistake in the same situation. So this tendency is there. So we are very good in finding causes for our own, to apologize ourselves. So we should rather apply this tendency towards others. And even if we find fault, if we can see it, then we should find reason why it's not really a fault. Right? That is adosha darshi. That is the Vaishnava platform. So that is one point to practice. One should consciously practice this glorification of the devotees. Practice makes perfect, so let us try. Another thing to do is, it is said that there should be no hankering and no lamentation. It is said that lamentation is also an obstacle in spiritual life. So the opposite of lamentation is also appreciation. So we should also see the mercy of Lord Chaitanya and see how nice it everything is, how many wonderful things there are in every situation. Like it's so easy in the material world to find an imperfection because the material world is imperfect. And so materially speaking, there's always something wrong. If you're looking for it, we'll surely find it. Excuse me. So, if we look for the material faults, we'll find many, because it's the nature of the material world, so perfection doesn't exist. So one must practice to look for the spiritual benefits, the spiritual glories in the situation, and add them up. So that also we appreciate every situation, but not artificially, that we see in every situation. There are so many wonderful things here. Just like one can say how wonderful it is that that Srila Prabhupada has made these temples all over the world, and how wonderful it is that in these temples all these activities are going on. Like on the Sunday feast, it is said in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, wherever there is the Sunday feast, there people are gathering for chanting and taking prasadam. And Srila Prabhupada said that certainly Lord Chaitanya will be personally present on such occasion. So every Sunday feast, Lord Chaitanya is personally one of the guests, or the main host, whatever way you want to see it. So this is actually stated by Srila Prabhupada. So in this way we can see how many wonderful things are going on. So we have to develop this vision of appreciation. If we have that, then we can very much appreciate everything. Appreciate life in the temple, appreciate the devotees, when we see how much mercy is involved. But if we cannot see, then it's very difficult. So, due to lack of transcendental vision, we become blinded by the disturbing material elements. We find this lacking and that lacking, and we see only austerity. Yeah. So we must appreciate the Vaishnavas, and we must appreciate the mercy of the Lord. Lord Chaitanya is commenting a little bit. Because people vary in their desires, you have distributed various holy names by your mercy. Regardless of time or place, one who chants the holy name, even while eating or sleeping, attains all perfection. You have invested your full potencies in each individual holy name, but I am so unfortunate that I have no attachment for chanting your holy names. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, O Swarup Damodar Goswami and Ramananda Roy, hear from me the symptoms of how one should chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra to awaken very easily one's dormant love of God. And then he goes into the next verse, Trinata Pisunichana, one who thinks himself lower than the grass, who is more tolerant than a tree, and who does not expect personal honor, but is always prepared to give all respects to others, can very easily always chant the holy name of the Lord. Anyhow, the point is that one point made is that for different tastes, there are different names. Still, we see that the followers of Lord Chaitanya are chanting the name Krishna, because especially that name is invested with all potency. The name Krishna is fully describing the most essential nature of the Supreme Lord, meaning the all-attractive. In no other name we find that same principle. The name all-attractive is giving the essence of Ras, because you cannot be all-attractive by yourself. There's no question that anyone is all-attractive all alone. Right? All-attractive always involves more than one person. It involves immediately relationship. And it involves the nature of the relationship. So this is Ras, or the transcendental mellow, the transcendental emotion that exists between Krishna and his devotee. So, therefore, the name Krishna is more important than any other name. Even all the principal names, no name is expressing the essence of Ras as much as the name Krishna. Therefore, it is the topmost of all the names of the Lord. So, we are chanting specifically this name of the Supreme Lord, Krishna. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who was giving the topmost process of devotional service, is giving that particular name of the Lord. But still, different Vaishnavas exist, and different Vaishnavas may chant different names of the Lord in different times, cultures, etc. And that's okay. And various Vaishnavas may not even worship Lord Krishna directly, but may worship Lord Vishnu in some form or other, or may worship Lord Ramachandra, and all that is also acceptable. Still, we see that on several occasions, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was establishing the supremacy of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, over any other manifestation of the Lord. There were several brahmanas who were chanting the name of Ram, but in the association of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they changed to chanting the name of Krishna. There is the discussion also existing between Venkatabhata and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, where Venkatabhata was worshipping Lakshmi Narayan, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu established that Krishna is the highest. So all throughout the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Krishna is established as the highest. And the name Krishna is none different from Krishna. So, therefore it is also said that the Maha Mantra must be chanted in this particular way. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. I read somewhere that Srila Prabhupada never said that one should follow the chanting of the holy name when it is recited in a Bhagavatam class, but rather that one time the devotees did it spontaneously. Yeah. They just did it. And Prabhupada kind of smiled, and it became a tradition that way. And now we're following it like a religious principle, and considering it total sacrilege if we wouldn't do such a thing, which is nice. Since Prabhupada appreciated, I think it's a good habit. We should continue. Still, it was interesting to read that little bit of history. The form in which the holy name comes, right, in the Maha Mantra, is not random. One cannot just take the holy names and just make his own little song. Right? There are many such songs. Hey Govinda, Hey Gopal, Kesava Madhava, Dina Dayal, for example. Nice bhajan, we appreciate it. And it is being sung sometimes, just for a little bit of variety. Still, we should understand that such kind of bhajans do not have the same potency as the Mahamantra. Although these bhajans are made up out of the same holy names of Krishna, Kesava is Krishna, Govinda is Krishna, Gopal is Krishna and none other, so one might think that, well, such bhajans should be equally potent to the Mahamantra. But again, the Mahamantra contains much more than merely the name of the Lord. To say merely the name of the Lord is almost is not right. But it is containing also, it is revealing more, let us say it like that, it is revealing more about the nature of the name of the Lord in combination with the other words. Hare Krishna is indicating the relationship that the Supreme Personality of Godhead has with the internal energy. So, it is explaining that Lord Krishna has three energies, three spiritual energies, known as Sandini, Samvit, and Ladini. The Sandini potency of the Lord is the basis of all existence. All different forms of existence, anything is maintained by this Sandini Shakti of the Supreme Lord, both in the spiritual and the material world. The Samvit Shakti is the knowledge potency of the Lord. And the Ladini Shakti is the pleasure potency of the Lord. So the pleasure of the pleasure potency of the Lord is referring to spiritual pleasure, the real pleasure. And all material pleasure is a perverted reflection of that, like a shadow. So the shadow has some contours. The shadow has some contours that are resembling the original object, but obviously it doesn't have the same intricacies and varieties as the original. You see someone's shadow, you cannot see what the colors of the eyes are in the shadow, right? Or so many other things, just black. But the contours are there. So shadow is poor. So the Ladini Shakti, the pleasure potency of the Lord, is reflected in material pleasure, which is only the shadow. But Ladini Shakti, the personification of the Ladini Shakti is Srimati Radharani, but the Ladini Shakti also includes all devotional service. So all devotional service is that Ladini Shakti, or that pleasure potency. So this pleasure potency is actually captured in the word Hare. Right? That is the ultimate meaning of it. So the internal potency of the holy name, or of the impersonal, the internal potency of the Lord, is the only thing that the Lord can enjoy. Krishna can never enjoy anything material. It's not possible. Krishna has no taste for anything material. We can also not enjoy anything material, but we think we can. But Krishna is never in Maya. So therefore, you know, it's not that Krishna ever thinks, you know, like, hey, you know, this looks good, let's enjoy this Ferrari or Maserati. No, it's not that Krishna takes pleasure in these things at all. Right? It is said that even if we offer Krishna as much opulence, all the opulence of the world, right? If all the opulence of the world is offered to Krishna, it cannot attract Krishna, because he already has all opulences. He is Sarvaishvari Purna. He has all wealth, all beauty. So no one can be so beautiful that it can impress Krishna. You can't impress Krishna. It's not possible. Right? Because Krishna is the reservoir of all beauty. So no one can ever impress him with any of these things. So the only thing that can impress Krishna is devotional service. And so that devotional service is made of the Ladini Shakti. So therefore the combination of Hare Krishna includes the relationship that exists between the all-attractive Supreme Personality of Godhead and His pleasure potency. So, and the result of that is Ram. Ramanti yogino nante satchananda chetatmani iti rama padena so param brahma vidiyate. Which means that this word Ram is referring to transcendental enjoyment. That the meaning of Ram is total transcendental bliss. Ramanti yogino nante means that the yogi is experiencing the greatest transcendental enjoyment when Krishna is experiencing enjoyment. So, therefore, within the Maha Mantra, the entire essence of the spiritual world is captured. Therefore, the chanting of the Maha Mantra is especially stressed, not just merely the name of Krishna or the name of Govinda. Therefore, we are generally chanting the Maha Mantra. Although sometimes we see that some other things were chanted by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Krishna, 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 hey, that was chanted. Or Govinda Jaya Jaya, Gopala Jaya Jaya, Srila Prabhupada also introduced this. Still, that will never replace the Maha Mantra. The chanting of the Maha Mantra is the essence. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada was very strict about his about chanting of names in the kirtans, right? And did not really give room for all the musical variations. I know I like music myself quite a bit, and you know, to everyone, every once in a while, throw in a little bit, hey, Govinda, you know, could add a lot of flavor, or you know, at the end, to just with a big crescendo go like you know, Radhe Radhe can really like get it going, yeah. But Srila Prabhupada did not approve of this, nor did he introduce this. These things came from outside. It came from other Vaishnavas. It did not come from the founder Acharya. And so our real business is to maintain chastity there and to follow the standards that Prabhupada wanted. And it's not even good enough to do what Prabhupada allowed. Right? But it is still better to do what Prabhupada really wanted and what he did himself. That's the higher standard. Sometimes Prabhupada allowed certain things, so it's authorized, it's okay. Yes, but that may be, the guru may allow certain things. But that's not the same as like trying to do what he really desires. That's a higher level, obviously. So in this way, the Maha Mantra is the essence of everything, and it is our material restlessness that we are looking for new varieties and new flavors and new tastes, right? Something different, a different mantra, a different book, a different, another variety of things. So the nature of Krishna consciousness is not to look for a new variety in a new theme, right? Rather, it is not a new thing that we are looking for, but it is a new experience within the practice of Krishna consciousness. I got a bit of a lesson like that the first day I joined Krishna consciousness, because before I was a devotee, somehow or other, someone gave me a Krishna book, and I didn't like the Krishna book because I thought it was, I thought there was no plot in the book. I thought Krishna kills the demon already on the first page of every story. So what kind of book is that, you know? You always know who's going to win, right? Is it like, you know, it's not one of those books where you just can't tolerate it any longer. You have to look at the last page to know, you know, who's going to win. Otherwise you can't sleep, you know? Right? So I thought, this book, you know, it has no plot, right? So I wasn't impressed by it. And then, when I joined the temple, then I came in the morning and I rang the doorbell and a devotee opened the door and I told him I want to join, and he said, okay, that's all right, sit down on this chair and just wait, and meanwhile you can read this magazine. Oh, I've already read that magazine. He said it doesn't matter, a devotee can read it all the time. So it's like, you know, my first instruction, right? So I sat down on the chair and I was reading that magazine for quite a while, you know, half an hour. So I read the whole thing, you know, from cover to cover. And he even started again on the same story, you know, like he told me. And then, because I was in a surrendered mood, obviously, I was joining, you know, so it was really like a super surrendered mood at that moment. I was ready for anything. All right, I'm going to read it. He gave me the instruction, I'm going to do it. And then I saw that devotee, so I went like, yeah, I'm here. And he went like, that's all right, you know, kind of, you stay there. So again, I was reading this magazine and magazine and magazine. And I saw the devotee several times that day, and every time he was gesturing, no, yeah, just wait. So I was thinking, well, this must be part of the test, you know. They must have this system that when you want to join, they make you sit on this chair and to see how serious you are, right? So it must be a test to see if I really want to join. Well, I'll show them, you know. I'm not moving an inch. I'll sit here for the rest of the day, you know. And I'll read that magazine. So the whole day I read that magazine, and only in the, I came at 9 in the morning, and in the evening the temple president said, what are you doing if you've been sitting here all day? I said, I want to join. He said, really? Anyway, but I got a lot of realizations that day, actually. It was very good reading that magazine all over and again and again, because from reading that magazine, every time I read the same thing, I read something new, I read something more. And I started to realize that it's not in reading a new story about Krishna, but reading the same anecdote about Krishna again and again, but one sees it in different perspectives, etc. And in this way, we enter into the pastimes of Krishna, or into the holy name, the chanting of the Maha Mantra in Krishna, of Krishna, and each time there is a deeper experience, and each time it gets more and more meaning, and that is the purpose. So that is where the new element comes in, not that today we chant Hare Krishna, what are we chanting tomorrow? Oh, I got a great mantra from Vrindavan, you know. Radhe Krishna, Radhe Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Radhe Radhe, Radhe Sham, Radhe Sham, Sham Sham, Radhe Radhe. Sounds great, very interesting, a different variety, Sham Sham. Right? You could really like go for it. But we should understand that such mantras may be chanted and there is some benefit in there, in the sense that they contain the holy names of the Lord, but they are never containing the same potency as the Mahamantra, because the same complete nature of the Ras, of the Supreme Personality of Krishna, the all-attractive, the internal potency engaged in the service of the Lord, the unlimited ocean of pleasure that is manifest because of it, all that is never coming in these other varieties of names of Krishna that are put together in various ways. Therefore, it is the Maha Mantra that should be chanted. That is the principal purpose of this movement. That's what we do. It's just, I experience that, and we all experience that, is that we travel sometimes. Like soon it will be Narsingha Chaturdasi, and many of the people that are here will also be there in Germany, like every year, right, in the Swing, etc. And what do we do when we get there? The same thing we're doing here, right? Chanting Hare Krishna. So sometimes you wonder, I mean, why travel so much? We go all the way to India, all of us. We go to India only to meet the same people that we always meet everywhere. Yeah? We meet everywhere again and again, sometimes in Germany, sometimes in Zurich, sometimes in Mayapur. And we do the same thing again. Chant the same mantras, same tunes, bang, bang, bang. Right? Bang on the mridangas. All these things we're doing, same thing. So why are we doing that? And today we're having a special function to open the new temple. And guess what we're going to do? Yes, we're doing it again. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And we're having a home program, you know. It is really something else, you know. And guess what the main attraction of the evening will be? It is the holy name. So every time, whenever we gather, that's what we do. But although we do the same thing every time, and someone, you know, a journalist might catch on to that, right? A journalist might follow us and might say, like, they announce a new program every time, but actually the substance of their program is the same every time. Yeah? They always do the same thing, he might say. But that is only a new journalist, right? An old journalist that has been coming around, he will start to get some taste for the chanting, and he will start to appreciate that it's not the same every time, but that there's a different flavor in every occasion, and that that's why we're going to different places, different occasions, to chant the holy name and to churn it in a different way to see if we can get like a different ras while in chanting. And we chanted in Mayapur, and it was very nice. The Abhishek this year was like last year in the gardens, and it was very peaceful because everyone was sitting down watching the bathing of the deities. In the past, for so many years on Gorpanim in Mayapur, they were bathing the deities in the main temple. And then there's millions of pilgrims coming in one day for the darshan, and they knock you over as you're there in the temple, and it's like just... And then when the Abhishek or the bathing of the deities is going on in the evening, then it would be like really a huge rush and pushing people, etc. And it's like sometimes you felt like, well, I guess they're going to have it without me this year. What can we do, you know? I'll see the video later on, but I think, you know, there are some limits as to how many bodies can fit in one temple, and I think there should be at least one body less, and that's mine. Get me out of here. Right. One might sometimes have that sensation. So how different is the Abhishek in the garden? Very peaceful, everyone sits down, so instead of standing up, so you could actually see the deity. And it's a very soft, gentle bhajan sung by the expert Bengali bhajan singer Sachi Kumar, who has a super sweet voice and plays very slow, right? He keeps it slow, he drags his voice on every syllable, and the mridangas also are slow, they don't get passionate at all. So the whole thing was very, very, very peaceful, created a very transcendental atmosphere, otherworldly. Very nice. It was a different flavor of chanting. I was glad to be there and experience that mellow of chanting. Yeah. Just now, from Mayapur then, I jumped on a plane and came to Africa, where I was only for 36 hours due to some funny thing that happened with my ticket due to the war. It changed and my African stay became short. But anyway, we had this one bhajan which was like a little jazzy, and it was kind of swinging a lot, and the Africans, they really got into it. And we had a little choir going in the back and all kinds of varieties. It was a... and they were chanting like... Their mouth was so wide open that it was like... and each time they would just go like that, do it again, and I just put everything into it. That was also something like, I said, well, we can't stop tonight, there's no stopping, we won't stop until we drop, kind of kirtan. Like this, so many different flavors. Other times we are alone and peaceful. Sometimes, when you come to the Hare Krishna Kirtan, you hear all the clang-bang, right? You come in the temple room and it's just clang-bang, clang-clang-bang, clang-bang, right? And you think like, okay, I know this is the topmost process. Clang-clang-bang-bang-clang, right? Yeah, like, oh God, you know. Topmost process. And you see that a number of the most enthusiastic clangers and bangers are having earplugs in. And you're scratching your head, you know, and you're thinking like, well, it's interesting, this bhakti yoga. Far out process, right? You make like as much noise as you can, you know? And then you stuff up your ears to block it out. And this is the topmost process. It's the highest thing there is. So there are these little moments when you think about bhakti yoga that you kind of scratch your head and think, like, well, how does this work? So there are also other moments. There are also very quiet, in peaceful times, just when it's us and Krishna. Yes, there's little moments we relish when there is nobody, no clanging, no banging, no noise, no nothing, just a quiet and peaceful atmosphere, and just peacefully repeating the holy name again and again, one after another, without thinking how many rounds I'm going to chant, just let it flow. Without being restless, without thinking where do I have to go, what do I have to do. No, just being, just getting that out of our mind and being peaceful and just chant name after name. This is also another flavor. So there are many flavors to be experienced in the chanting of the holy name, and what I'm describing is only the tip of the iceberg, right? The flavors which are described by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur are that the holy name dances on one's tongue, and it is said that that dancing holy name sweeps up the soul who dances along with that holy name. And at that time, it said, Maya flees into another direction. Right. We remember Rupa Goswami, Tunda Tandavini, who is describing that when Krishna is dancing, and the holy name is dancing on the tongue, he it needs millions of tongues to chant and millions of ears to hear, and that is still not enough. So these kind of experiences are like for most of us yet to come, whatever may be. Let us continue the great adventure of chanting the holy name. So that's it. That's what this movement is all about. To chant the holy name again and again in different ways with a lot of energy and concentration for the pleasure of Krishna. Once I was reading the Chaitanya Charitamrita, and I was reading about Haridas Thakur and how Haridas Thakur was every day chanting 300,000 names, and then it said, for the pleasure of Krishna. And at that time, it suddenly struck me, that line. It sometimes happens, you read and one line hits you, it strikes you. So it stood out for me, and I thought, I never chanted for the pleasure of Krishna. I chanted for many reasons. I chanted because I'm afraid of material life and I don't want to take birth again. I've chanted because I heard that if you chant Hare Krishna, you get a spiritual experience, and I wouldn't mind knowing what a spiritual experience is like. I've chanted because I wanted to change the state of my mind, because I wasn't satisfied with my consciousness. Right? So I've chanted out of pure selfishness, in other words, for so many reasons. But I had never chanted for the pleasure of the Lord. Suddenly I realized that. So if we really want to come to offenseless chanting, then we must chant for the pleasure of the Lord. Because if I may make the comparison, if we chant, really, the holy name as an offering to the Lord, then we have to do it proper. Just as the pujari on the altar offers a plate to Krishna, right? He has to do that proper. It's not that he walks on the altar and just, you know, plang, throw the plate on the altar, hey Krish, you know, okay, here's your lunch, okay, you know, splooch, throw it on the plate, you know, splooch. Chucks, here's your khichdi, here's puris, little sabji you want with it, okay, there you go, plop, right, okay, I'm not going to ring any bells because I wouldn't like it myself if some guy would be ringing a bell while I was trying to eat, you know, so I'll leave you to it and see you later, okay, bon appetit, Krish, yeah? You can't really offer it to Krishna like that, obviously. There is another approach to it. It's done very nicely. It's cooked in a certain way. Then who makes up the plate? Who makes up the offering plate? It's the whole service, right? Somebody is like the professional plate maker, you know, like comes in, like puts all the bowls in the right order, you know, like, okay, puris in between, balloon puris only, chuk, you know, like, okay, the tosi manjari, right, a little slice, a quarter slice of orange in between, just for a little, you know, just looks like a pretty good plate, right? Okay, table is wiped clean, etc. The seats are nicely put out for the Lord. Everything is there. Pujari offers it with certain mantras, etc. So procedure is done very proper. That's an offering. So in the same way, if we do the holy name for the pleasure of the Lord as an offering, automatically all the offenses disappear. It's when we chant the holy name with ulterior motives, with selfish motives, that means, for ourselves, that offenses are part of it. Because if we really chant the holy name as an offering to the Lord, how could we offer it in an improper way? Then we must offer him the best name. Automatically, we'll pronounce it properly. Right? Automatically, we offer him a nice name. Right? Like this. This meditation of chanting the holy name as an offering to the Lord is very helpful. in improving the quality of our chanting.
Okay, I'll stop with that.
Because time is moving along. And now leave it up to you for comments, questions, and other things. So, anybody? Yeah.
I can find the descriptions of Hare Krishna Rama, what it means.
I guess you have to find them in different books. Hara is referred to as the Ladini Shakti, as the internal potency by Srila Prabhupada in his translation, which you find in the explanation in the song book. Then if you follow up in the CC, what Ladini Shakti really is, right, then you will understand that, if you actually read what the internal potency is, so that you can find there. A little bit you'll find also on Ladini Shakti, or internal potency, in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And Ram, that verse that I've quoted, where was it from? I have to look. I know the verse, but I forgot where it's from. Just see. I have to check it. Where the Ram verse is from. But the principle is that Ram means pleasure. The word comes again. The definition of the word Ram is also quoted in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. The verse is quoted in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. There we'll find the most elaborate explanations. So it's not that there's like one particular chapter where it's all exactly as I gave it to you this evening. It's rather that I've taken the internal potency, and then I've explained what the internal potency actually is. Right? But Hare is identified as the internal potency, yes, that we find in Srila Prabhupada and Srila Bhakti Siddhanta's explanation. But then I've explained it further, like that. So, the explanation this evening was like a compilation. Well, you know, there are sometimes extended meanings given by various Vaishnava acharyas. So, sometimes Prabhupada's, this discussion that Ram refers to Balaram and refers to Ram, that came up in Hyderabad, in a discussion, two sannyasis argued in Prabhupada. One said, no, Ram means Balaram. Another one said, no, Ram means Ramachandra. And there was a big argument, and Prabhupada became the referee and said, it means both. Right? It means Ram and Balaram. And right there, Prabhupada established that. Prabhupada, on another occasion, said there are three Rams. Right? He also added Parasaram as a third Ram. Right? Yeah. And he's also there. As far as Ram also meaning Radharaman, yes, that is extended meaning. So, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu once said that when it comes to the verses of Bhagavatam or any Vedic verses, that they have unlimited meanings. and he was giving so many meanings. So one can give also extended meanings. So some of the acharyas have given extended meanings, but the principal meanings are undoubtedly Ram and Balaram. You see, Balaram in particular is the first expansion of the Lord. And Balaram is Krishna in the mood of his servant, of the servant of Krishna. So Balaram is always serving Krishna. So Balaram, as the servant of Krishna, is making all the arrangements for Krishna. Balaram becomes Krishna's bed, Balaram becomes Krishna's shoes, Balaram becomes the altar, Balaram becomes Krishna's plate, Balaram becomes Vrindavan. Balaram expands himself into Sankarshan, and as Sankarshan he becomes so many energies which are used for the pleasure of Krishna. So in this way, Balaram is the principal servant of the Supreme Lord, and therefore Balaram is Adi Guru, or the original spiritual master, who teaches everyone how to serve Krishna. So it is said that therefore Balaram is also experiencing the greatest transcendental pleasure from that service. So Balaram is the embodiment of the pleasure that comes from serving Krishna. So therefore, understanding that the name Ram means Balaram, we understand again the same point I made earlier on, Ramantaramite Yoga, Yogino, Satchinana Chitatmini, Iti Rama Padena Su, Brahma Brahmidiyate, that this Ram means the unlimited reservoir of pleasure. Because Balaram is the embodiment of that, due to, because he is the embodiment of the essence of it, service to Krishna. Srila Prabhupada himself always said Hare Krishna. The local Vrijpasis would greet him and say Radhe Radhe, but Prabhupada would respond with Hare Krishna. You'll find it in the Lilamrita. So, yes, because the chanting of Radhe Radhe of the Vrijpasis is recognizing the special position of Srimati Radharani, who is the intimate servant of Krishna, and that if one wants to approach Krishna, that one approaches Krishna through his devotee. And that one should approach Krishna through the servants of Srimati Radharani. So we find that in the verse that of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Naham Vipranachanara Patir Nabi Vaishina Sudra Naham Varnana Chakriya Patir Novanasti Yatir Va Kintu Projani Kila Paramananda Ritapter Kopi Partapada Kamanaya Dasana Dasana Das. Establishing that actually we are the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord. So this spirit is there in the Vrijpasis. So it is nice when they chant Radhe Radhe in that mood. Another reason why the Vrijpasi chants Radhe Radhe is to appreciate that Srimati Radharani is the topmost embodiment of the highest spiritual experience, the highest spiritual ras. So, especially those devotees that are aspiring for Madhurya ras will take Srimati Radharani as their inspiration, so it is said. However, Srila Prabhupada is the follower of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Srila Prabhupada had some differences with many of the Vaishnavas in Vrindavan. One of these differences was on the point about nature of the of how to attain the spiritual body, the Siddha Deha. There are many Vaishnavas in Vrindavan who think that the Siddha Deha is being attained in this very lifetime, right? By the process that we are following. Whereas Prabhupada was teaching a verse of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, which was spoken by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prem Saja Kabunai Sravanani Sudha Chaita Karya Udai. That the process of devotional service reawakens us and reveals our eternal spiritual body, the body we already had but that we forgot about. In other words, that through this process of chanting Hare Krishna, we are reawakening our forgotten identity. And then we'll see what that identity may be. So therefore, that to cultivate this ras or that ras over another ras is artificial for one who is not on the platform of Krishna Prema. It is said that only at the stage of bhava are we, or Prabhupada said sometimes ashakti, which is the state before bhava, do we recognize that there are, that the rasas begin to manifest in a person. Then there are five types of ashakti, Prabhupada says. Five different moods according to the different rasas. Madhurya, the conjugal ras, Vatsali, parental ras, Sakya, the friendship ras, etc. So, Prabhupada says that these rasas will be revealed at the time that a devotee is becoming advanced. So the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra is in that way uncovering the original rasa of a different devotee and reawakens him to his original position. So Lord Chaitanya's movement is for that purpose. So although Lord Chaitanya's movement is meant to give the topmost mellow, that of conjugal love, it makes that available. It doesn't mean that every devotee in this movement comes to that particular ras. So that's one reason why the chanting of Hare Krishna would be more suitable. But even for those who are in the mellow of conjugal love, still within the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, the mellow of ras is even more included. Right, than in Radhe alone. Yeah. So the mantra, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, is the highest in all respects. And Prabhupada established that because he was always an Acharya and never anything else. At every moment he was establishing the Absolute Truth. So we should also know that this is the topmost. We should know that that even in Vrindavan there was no one like Prabhupada. No one like the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya. This Sampradaya has the topmost rasas. We should faithfully follow that. Hare Krishna. Not Radhe Radhe. They may say Radhe Radhe. We say Hare Krishna. I also always say it. I don't say that.
Sometimes we hear that we can get Krishna through Madhava, and sometimes we hear that we can get Krishna through Madhava.
Yes. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur said that actually one attains Krishna through Lord Nityananda. He said that Lord Nityananda is the spiritual master of all. He said those who are liberated souls and who are on the who are inclined towards Madhurya Ras genuinely as liberated souls, they may take Srimati Radharani as their spiritual master. He said, all others, Lord Nityananda. There's a statement like that, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta. It's in that big biography book, like you may have seen that. Very big black book published by Mangalam Arts, biography of Bhaktisiddhanta. There's a quote in there. That point is that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta said that those who are in the liberated state and by their constitutional position are in Madhurya Ras, they may take Srimati Radharani as their spiritual master, but all others should take Lord Nityananda. Find the quote in the in that big Mangalam Arts biography.
Is it allowed in this Pradaya of Srila Prabhupada Pongyacharya? Is it allowed that we we can open our heart to
Srimati Radharani? I think that we should appreciate Srimati Radharani and open our heart in the way that we are looking for the mercy of Srimati Radharani, but we should understand that our principal spiritual master is Lord Nityananda. I think that is the right mood. So we should not like get too much into special prayers to Srimati Radharani. No, when it comes to special prayers, we should go to Lord Nityananda and say, Lord Nityananda, I'm such a fallen wretch, right? I'm a typical Kali Yuga soul, right? Please, I'm depending on your mercy. But on other occasions, we may pray to Srimati Radharani and say, Srimati Radharani, please be kind to me, to give me some mercy. But we should not think that, well, it's my particular flavor is, I'm more attracted to Srimati Radharani, and I think I'll go for this attraction. I think this is my nature. No, so this is premature. We should just think I'm very attracted to Srimati Radharani, very attracted to Krishna, very attracted to Balaram, but I'm such a wretch, I need Lord Nityananda. And please save me. I think that is the message that we're getting from Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. We should understand that we are not great Vaishnavas. We should understand that we are somehow or other, by incredible mercy, we are here. We don't belong here. I mean, we don't belong in the Vaishnav Sangha. Where we belong is in our own Western, fallen, sinful way of life. And somehow or other, we've been pulled out. But all the remnants of that are still there. Right? Underneath the little Vaishnav surface, there are still so many remnants of our previous identity pulling at us, right? Kind of. So therefore, we need all the mercy we can get to maintain the Vaishnav platform and to advance nicely towards Krishna. Nitai pada binabai Radha Krishna paitanai. Without the mercy of lotus feet of Lord Nityananda, Radha Krishna will not be available. Narottama Thakur said. 9 o'clock. My time is up.